Folks, just as a little recap, where we've been in the last 5 weeks, Psalm 2, rebellion, living your own way outside of God, but blessing that's found when we live his way, when we trust him. Psalm 5 was about restoration, about civil war in King David's family and how he was having to trust God to restore him on the throne, but also just again trusting God in all of that. Psalm 8, the heavens declare the glory of God, just rejoicing in all of God's creation and all that he has given for us to richly enjoy. Psalm 40 last week, I waited patiently for the Lord. I just waited for the Lord, and he turned to me and he heard my cry and he lifted me out of the pit, out of the mud and mire, and set my feet on a rock. That picture of rescue and redemption. And then Psalm 46 today, it's a very familiar psalm. Very often we would read it at a time of loss and bereavement. But sometimes we've kind of skewed what it's about. And though all that we think about in times of loss is true, folks, there's a bigger picture that's going on here. Just as a little by the way, I'm going to test Adrian here for a moment. Now, if I was to mention to you Charles Albert Tindley, no, wrote a hymn called Stand By Me. Yep. That was then taken by Ben E. King. Darling, darling, stand by me. Go on to Mr. Google and look up the hymn. It is beautiful. And Ben E. King, with I think it was Lieber and Stoller, actually took the hymn and wrote the famous pop song, Stand By Me. But when the skies or the land is dark and the mountains tumble to the sea, Ben E. King's Stand By Me is based on the hymn which is based on Psalm 46. Every day is a learning day. A wee change today as well. Look at the top of your psalm on your Bible. It's not written by David. The sons of Korah. Not quite sure completely who they are, but there is a whole collection of psalms that come from the sons of Korah. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Folks, for you and I, refuge in trouble. God is our safe place. Not like the Fisher Price Castle. It's a bit dodgy. God is our safe place in whom we can find. We're just there. We're safe in him. Refuge in trouble. Actually, even take that verse. Sorry, going to cough again. I have a bit of a cold on me. Refuge. That word speaks about a place where we go to be safe, a refuge from the troubles that are without. Strength, God is our refuge and our strength. Well, strength is something that comes from within. And then, God is our ever-present help. Refuge and strength and ever-present help. So not just without, within, it's just with. We can hide in him because he's our refuge and our safe place. We can know his strength in us. And then just that fact, again, we're reminded of it in Psalm 23, aren't we? That he is just here. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Stephen Williamson used to often quote Hebrews 13, verse 5, a verse that you can read backwards and it means the same thing. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. You forsake, I will never. You leave, I will never. God is our refuge, our strength, our ever-present help in time of need. We could just go home now. Because that's all we need to hear. And yet the psalm continues. And actually, there are three pictures in it. Look at verse 2, halfway through verse 2, down to verse 5. It says, therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. And then there's this little word, Selah. We'll pick up that later. But here in these verses, creation is in chaos. God is our refuge and strength in the storm. And if creation is in chaos around you, my goodness, folks, listen to the news. Fires, floods, famine, earthquake, global warming, although Mr. Trump doesn't believe it. Creation is in chaos. But God is in control. He is our safe place, is the first picture, the picture of nature, creation in chaos. Michael Wilcox in his little commentary, and I just felt this was useful to put on the screen. Our generation may be better, or may better understand how the natural world works, but that only makes us more aware of its destructive power. We might know how nature works and we may understand it a bit more, but we can't control it. But God's in control. Our generation may better understand how the natural world works, but that only makes us more aware of its destructive power. Creation is in chaos, is the first picture, but God is in control. Verses 4 to 6 are a city under siege. Second picture that finishes again with this wee word, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, but he lifts his voice and the earth melts. He's in control. A city under siege. These verses are of a city that is under siege. It's a picture of Jerusalem from the sons of Korah, thinking back actually to the time of King Hezekiah when Jerusalem was under siege and Hezekiah had dug a tunnel. And so whenever you read, there's a river that makes glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells, is a picture of a river of access to water so that those who are under siege can be sustained. This is the picture here in the psalm. I don't know if you ever heard of Masada. So in Israel, a huge fort on a hillside. I can't remember just exactly the number of years, but the Romans trying to kill the zealots and the Jewish people in the fort had it under siege for years upon years. But there were well springs, unbelievably, somewhere on top of that mountain, that rock, and they were able to be sustained for years until, if you see the picture there, still to this day, I'm told, the Romans built a ramp and was eventually how they got into it. But it was a city that was under siege. And the river that makes glad the city of God is a picture in Psalm 46 of God sustaining for you and I. Whenever we feel our lives are under siege, the one who is the living water, the one who is the water of life, sustaining us. Not just his provision, though, but his presence. It's the holy place where the Most High dwells. And God is within her. Not only is God protecting us without from that that's coming against us, He is with us within the holy place where the Most High dwells. If you feel your life is under pressure, remember that God, by his presence, is with you. And remember that the one who is in you, not only just with you, but in you, is greater than the one who is in the world. Second part of verse 5, God's protection. She will not fall. And then this little phrase, God will help her at break of day. And again, the picture here, excuse me, folks, is the sons of Korah, as they write this, are thinking back to the siege. The Assyrians have come against the city. Sennacherib, the king, is thinking, yes, we've got these boys, as they have the city besieged. And one morning, the people in the city waken to find that the army have devastated themselves outside of the walls, that God has moved, and at break of day, their rescue has come. At break of day, the siege has gone. And again, the commentators would say, this is the picture here. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. But he lifts his voice and the earth melts. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. Again, the commentators say, think of Jesus in the storm, in the middle of the lake. Peace, be still. The commentators say, goodness, think of creation. God spoke and there was. And the power of our God, when we feel that our lives are under siege, to know and trust that if he lifts his voice, the earth melts. Derek Kidner, in his little commentary, says, God's voice will be as decisive in dissolving the world as it was in creating it. Let me read that again. God's voice will be as decisive in dissolving the world as it was in creating it. Folks, do you ever feel in trying to live for God that your life is under siege spiritually? I do. But we know who our God is, don't we? Third picture, the nations. Nations in conflict. And yet, first part of verse 8, the Lord just says, it's an invitation. Come and see. Wait till I show you who's in charge here. Wait till I tell you and see. Let you see what's going on. The desolations that I've brought on the earth. Second part of verse 8. His domination. He makes, he breaks, he burns. Look at verse 9. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Who's in charge? The Lord. Thing is, folks, if we're honest, and I'm standing here and thinking, I know this is true, but sometimes life experience feels different. Sometimes life experiences, where is God in this? Some of our friends that are staying in the McRoboy Hotel, and life experience for a minute, sorry guys, you think, oh, hold on a minute. Where is God in this? And yet in faith and trust, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. It's true. verse 10, we so much misunderstand it. We so much misunderstand it. And our misunderstanding is also true, but it's a misunderstanding. Because you have it, it's how you read it. Oh, just be still and know that I'm God. Just be still. No. This is a rebuke. Though, we'll come and see, look at the desolations. He makes, he burns, he breaks. Guys, be still. And know that I am God. Almost a better translation is, stop it. Stop trying to do it yourself. And know that I am God. It's not about you. Stop trying to work it out yourself. Be still. Know that I am God. It's a rebuke rather than a reassurance. Mark chapter 4 verse 37. We're in the boat on the lake, in the storm. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Although the be still and know that I am God is right and is true, in the context of this psalm, it's God saying the conflict in the world, creation and chaos, a city under siege, stop it, be still. Stop striving and know that I am God. There's a little refrain that comes in here. Stop fighting and acknowledge that I am God. Sorry, I got carried away with myself there. There's a little refrain that comes in here. Verse 7. And verse 11, the Lord Almighty is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress, is our stronghold. Actually, again, some of the scholars say it should come after verse 3. And if you read the version of Scripture, the Message, the Eugene Peterson version, he actually puts it in a third time, alongside the little word Selah. But God is our stronghold. Twice, maybe three times, this little word, Selah. My understanding is that it's a musical term that says an instrumental break to reflect on the words. I think that's lovely. It's an instrumental break to reflect on what we've just been thinking about, what we've just read or what we've just sung. Selah. And then verse 10, to be still, just as we finish up. God is our stronghold, and in him we have our security. Even though it may seem that the world is in chaos, our security is in him. And so twice, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Find our security in him. Slow down. Selah. Just slow down. If you're feeling under pressure, slow down. An instrumental break to reflect on the words, to think of God's truth in your life. And be still. Stop striving. For he is in control. Michael Wilcox, again in his little commentary, says, what he has been on so many occasions in years gone by, that he is for his people here and now. God is our fortress.